Sound, the sound of the shofar, God's instrument, the shofar. Wow, wow. Well, we receive the sound, the tone, the vibration of heaven this morning. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you for who you are. I've got some scripture here. I'm going to make this quick, but this first one is out of Colossians 1, but instead of read it to you, I'm going to speak it over us. And so here's what the word says. It says that we are energized with all of his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling us with great hope. Can you feel the hope? Can you feel the hope of the Lord on the inside of your being and your inner man? There is hope that we are filled with the God of hope. And there's even more. It goes on to say that our hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when we think of how God made us worthy. He made us worthy. He made us worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Wow. Wow. You know, it's an important time to remember that we live in the light, because darkness is everywhere, and we live in the light. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, and we carry that light in us, so we let that light shine everywhere that we go. And I'm reading out of the Passion, but in the traditional translations, it says that we were transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his light. How is that? Because Christ is in us and he shines through us. I heard a testimony of a woman. She was preaching and she gave a testimony. She went into a place where there was a lot of demonic activity. These people were practicing demonic activity, and she was nervous to go in there, but through some circumstances, the Holy Spirit led her there, and she stood up and she preached. And no one responded. No one responded, and she just preached and then she left. She found out years later, when she was at a conference, one of the people that truly was a Satanist saw, when she preached, saw light come out of her mouth. And she went home and she was saved. Now, this was after the fact. She got saved, and then she went around in that group that they had, were like-minded in one way, and then they became like-minded in Christ. That's the power of the light that's in us. That's the power of the light of Jesus Christ, and we are no different. So let your light shine. Father, we thank you for your light. We thank you for your hope. We thank you, Lord God, that it's not about us, but it's about the Christ that is in us. That it's about Jesus in us, who is the light. And so we can open our mouths and we can release your word. We can release your hope. We can release your light into every place that we walk, into every place that we talk, into every place that we breathe. We can breathe forth your light. We welcome you this morning, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, all of you. Let's worship.
I'm coming with a heart of worship. I'm bringing in a brand new song. I'm ready to see the unthinkable. I'm ready for a miracle. Hearts praying for a fresh encounter. Souls looking to the living God. I'm ready for a real revival.
Spirit, come.
living in you. A vessel of God's glory, you are a carrier of His word. I see the power of God living in you.
Transformation's here. It's here, right here.
heaven is reaching. Can you hear it? Our God is speaking. Oh, can you see it? He's got your healing. Just receive it. Receive your freedom. Receive your freedom. Heaven is reaching. Oh, can you hear it? Our God is speaking. Can you see it? Oh, He's got your healing. Just receive it. Receive your freedom. There's a holy expectation for what you're about to do. We're full of awe and adoration. We wait for you. That again. We're your people on the altar. What we offer you, we'll use. Oh God, breathe on this surrender. We're here for you. We're here for you. Generation.
Children, you are my beacon. You are my beacon for this place. Continue to step forward. When you see me, you will see my glory. You will see openings of joy and peace and love and righteousness for you, for your family, for this city of Detroit, for this nation. Step forward. You see me. So step forward into my grace, into my peace, into my love for you, for you are my beacon.
Yes, yes, yes. We say yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Just lift your hands right now. And welcome a touch from heaven right now to set your light. Set your light in us on fire, Lord.
I spread a table before you. Come, feast. I spread a feast for you. I spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So feast. Come and feast.
Lift your hands and just begin to feast on the table right now. He set one before us this morning. And he's inviting us to come freely and come boldly into the throne room this morning and feast upon his table, to eat and drink freely. eat and drink freely. Let's feast on Him this morning as we worship in spirit and in truth. We welcome.
We feast on Your love.
Yes, yes, we feast on You.
We feast on Your love, O God. I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness of God. And all my in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. eternity.
Set you aside to be, and even as the cares of life come to consume you, my reality will raise you up above those cares, and you can begin to be an example to those around you of what it is like to walk with me and to allow my thoughts to consume your thoughts.
Yeah. Let's do that part. God inside me, you're my reality. Let's just sing that and worship that over yourself. Put your hand on your inner man, the inner man, and sing. This is reality, him on the inside of you. This is a message this morning. So let's sing that and declare it over yourself and declare it over the region, declare it over the nation. He is our reality. God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
His thoughts define me.
Yeah, that's it.
You're inside me.
Woo.
You're my reality.
Begin to worship Him. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him all the glory. For He alone is worthy. We worship. We worship You. Jesus, King of glory. We bless You and honor You. You know, in the midst of all the chaos, there's one thing that is real more than anything else. Heaven and earth may pass away, but He says, my word is eternal. And Jesus is the word made flesh. And Jesus dwells in you. So one thing that is more real than all the chaos going on around us is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changeth not. Amen? Let's give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Whoa, you didn't back down? We didn't become the church of the frozen chosen? Came in with the boiler off, but did you feel it warm up? Well, the boiler's on now, so you may be seated.
Holy fire.
I could feel it warming up, but your worship warms them up. Amen? Ooh, I'm going to have to take... So we thank You for pressing in and... Yeah, it's on. If you're cold, you can go stand next to the heater. I know that I messed Stephen up here because he hooked me up on my... sweatshirt, and let's see if I can get this off, Steve. There we go. So praise God. Praise God. Thank You for persevering, pressing in. I'll tell you, when get your eyes focused on Jesus. I mean, it may be cold, but he'll warm you up. Amen. On the inside. I'm so excited this morning. I can't wait, because this is 2 weeks in a row this has happened. It's happened many weeks in a row, but 2 weeks in a row that Prophet Susie opened with the same chapter that the Lord gave me. And I get real nervous when she gives that same chapter. It's a different verse in a different area, but Colossians chapter 1. And then Amy sang that. That's why I had her pick that up. And we didn't communicate, but
Holy Spirit,
Christ in us. He is our reality. And that's why I want to stay in that, because it was just, that's what he's saying. I said, what is the message for today? And I've been praying about that, and I need to just get some air cleared this morning so that I'm not thinking about it, but you know, I am thinking about it. Apostle Linda's not here this morning, and our dog went into labor last night. And so we're thinking about that. In fact, we got home last night from my son's Robert's house, where she's having the puppies. It's up near Flint and Mount Morris. And we got in last night about 5, had dinner, went to bed at 10, and at 11:15 we got a call that I think something's happening here. You might want to consider coming back up. So we drove back up in the middle of the night. I dropped Apostle Linda off, and she's with Regal. And Regal's our dog, and Regal means fit for a king. So some of you will get that. And so she's carrying a lot of royalties. And so that's what we call the, how are the royalties going? Because all the puppies will be named some kind of royalty. The first one looks like a big one. We had x-rays on Friday, and there's at least 8. And she's full, but the vet says there could be a couple sleepers in there because she's so big. But the first one at the bottom of her stomach is huge. And you can see the spine and the head. And so we're going to name him King. So royalty names. So the royals are stirring this morning. And I got my phone in my pocket. I normally don't have that there. If I hear a vibration, things might begin to happen. But she's not due till the middle of next week. But the vet said she's so full that she wouldn't be surprised if she came early. And her mucus plug popped on Friday, and so usually that's 4 to 7 days after that that the puppies come. So things are happening. So we're here, and our families. Betsy stayed home, my daughter-in-law, from church, so she sent Robert to preach the message. Apostle Linda sent me. I came in early this morning, and so I'm focused on what God's doing.
Amen.
And but just let you know, I'll be praying for Rigo as she goes through this. As far as we can remember, we did have one when we were first married, but we couldn't remember that. We were talking. The question was, is this Apostle Linda's first coaching dogs? Yes. She's coached 35 or 40 different babies. Some of you here, she's helped coach your children, but this is her first puppies that she's coaching, and she's all excited about it, a little nervous, and Betsy's an expert at it, so Betsy's there with her. And so just, you know, if I get a vibration in my leg and I go like that, you'll know what's going on, okay? So, it's not the Spirit of God. Be praying. We're excited. We're thankful. And but God is on the move. He's heating the building up, and why he's doing that. A couple quick things, a couple quick announcements. We're almost just inside 2 weeks from Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? We're already over a third of the way through November, and this coming Saturday on the 18th, we're having a family of friends Thanksgiving here at the church in the multi-purpose room. So we're inviting everyone. You're invited, but you need to sign up. We are limited in the space, and you can sign up in the hall if you have any questions. everybody's going to bring a dish to pass, but we'll provide the turkeys, and you can talk to Laura, and Gwen and Robin are all hosting that. So that's this Saturday at 1 o'clock, is it? Is that right? 1 o'clock. On next Sunday, it's decorating the sanctuary for the holidays time, so you can come and help Laura after service, and we'll be decorating for Christmas. Oh, that sounds so strange, Christmas. We call these Christmas puppies. So Christmas puppies, can you imagine little black puppies with red bows? They'll go good. Or she could have some chocolate ones, so... But I'll try not to put that in my sermon, although it will be there. I was thinking as I was driving home this morning and just praying in the Spirit, and the Lord said, you know, it's a little bit, the times we're in is a little bit like having puppies. You know, we knew the puppies were in there. And the word I got for this morning was, we're living in a time of manifestation.
Yep.
So the puppies were in there. We knew they were there. And Friday we found out through the x-ray how many are in there. But that's still not, I mean, we know that. We could feel them. In fact, we were enjoying this weekend, just laying our hands on them, could feel the puppies moving. And the kids were getting all excited. But that's not the same as them manifesting.
That's right.
I'm telling you, we're living in a time of the manifestation of the fullness of God.
Yes.
It's exciting to see miracles and signs and wonders, but it doesn't compare to seeing the fullness of God's glory manifested in the earth. And so the word I got was manifestation, and that's in Scripture, and we're going to read about that this morning. And so we're in the manifestation of puppies, but we're also in the manifestation and outpouring of Holy Spirit,
yes.
But His fullness.
Yes.
We haven't ever been this way before.
Nope.
Whoa.
We ain't past this.
I mean, we get to have all the latter rain and all the former rain all at one. They're converging. And so the fullness of God is the full manifestation of Jesus coming into the earth. And so that's what we're getting to enjoy. And so I guess they have breakfast ready, do they? Let's pray for our children. Father, we thank you and praise you for this generation that's coming up. We thank you that, Father, they have the mind of Christ and they're experiencing Holy Spirit, Father, at a young age, that they'll be carriers of your presence,
yes.
Father. They'll be bold, Father, to stand up and
yes.
declare your word. They'll be bold to stand against, Father, all the lies and all the deception
yes.
and the hypocrisy that's going on in the world, that they'll not be brainwashed with the world system and the education system, but they're being educated by Holy Spirit
yes.
and they have the mind of Christ right now. So, Father, fill them right now. That as, Father, they go, they're just being saturated with a fresh hunger right now to chase after you in the name of Jesus. And we bless the children. We bless those that work with them right now in the name of Jesus. Chase, Father, and Josh and Lola, Father, and Chelsea right now. And we thank you that more are joining this team because, Father, the harvest of this generation
yes.
is coming in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, the children can be dismissed, and wow, I appreciate the heat, Don. Thank you for staying on that. Woo, Don's been on it. The boiler actually shut down on, I think it was Wednesday, and they came out Thursday and found a part, found it, put it in. Friday it was fixed, but it went down for whatever reason. But thank you, Don, for staying with that. Offering, you can put it in the boxes in the back. The envelopes are in the pews, or not the pews, the chairs in front of you. So just fill those out. If you want to pay online, there's some information of how you can pay online. And one of the things we just need to realize that God's pouring out His Spirit, but He's restoring the storehouse. His house is a storehouse. And so when you bring your tithes and your offerings, our breakthrough offering all through November and December will go to the holiday offerings. So we want everybody involved. We want to bless those that are going through a rough time through this a season. We want to bless them with food certificates. And so it's a joy just to be able to give. That's offerings, but the tithes come into the storehouse. And so we thank you. Let's just pray as we receive the word. We're going to pray over Israel. I asked Steve to come, and Steve's here with us, and he's got connections with Israel, people there, because they were there and developed relationships. So he's going to come and pray over Israel after I get done praying. So come on up, Steve, and get ready. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the joy of giving, and we thank you that where we sow, Father, we can reap. So we're sowing into a harvest of lives, Father, of not only this generation, but Father, the next generation, the generation after it. We see the harvest coming in. Father, many have prophesied the billion soul harvest, but Father, we thank you. There's 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and we see, Father, more than that coming in. Bring in your harvest, Father. The harvest is truly white and ready for harvest, but the labors are few. So we thank you. We join the harvest, not just as Father preaching the word, but sowing into it, and we thank you for bringing, Father, a supernatural, abundant harvest of souls and lives changed, transformed into your image, coming into a reality of Jesus. So we thank you for that. And now, Father, we pray for Israel. And as we do, we thank you. We lift Israel up. Father, it affects us here in this region. So we thank you. 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 You're moving as Israel moves, Father. We thank you that we can set a timeline by what's happening around Israel and your people. So we thank you. We thank you right now.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the earth. I thank you for what you're doing in the nations, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in us as your people and in the nation of Israel. And Lord, this morning we lift up Israel to you. Father, we lift up your people. And Lord, this is an hour where you are exposing. This is an hour where you are shaking and sifting. You are rearranging. You are driving out the enemy and his network systems. Father, this is a time where you are breaking and you are reforming and reshaping. And so, Father, we just say right now over Israel, we say over Gaza, Lord, that you would uproot and you would unplant and bring out. Father, you are uprooting the systems of the enemy. You are uprooting the underground networks. You are uprooting. Hear this even with your spirit. God's doing something in the spirit realm. He's doing something in the earth. Father, you are uprooting and you are removing and you are exposing. And not only are you exposing, but you are dealing with the networks and the things that the enemy has set in place to try and trip us up and to try and to thwart us and to try and to continue the places of attack. Lord, you are uprooting. And so, Father, we declare over Israel, Lord, we declare the uprooting of the enemy's systems, the underground systems. Father, you are exposing, and not only are you exposing, but you are dealing with those things and all of the connections therein to other nations. Lord, reveal to the intelligence community. Father, reveal where there is other things happening in the nations around. Lord, so things can be dealt with. And Father, we declare over Israel your protection. You said it's a Psalm 91 time. And Lord, we declare over Israel, Psalm 91. We declare over Israel that Israel is under your wing. It's under the shadow of your wing. Mm-hmm. May they find refuge in you. It's a time, Father, where you are moving us forward into a place of victory. You are moving us forward into a place of new ground, old ground and new ground being taken. Yes, Lord. Just pray in the spirit for a minute. Shakara bandondoranda rededi basiko rototore bege Sharando robo seca ratabra mando seca rarabasica. Rendere bashabrondo robo seke. Rashata rabata ramando robo shika rabaha. Roshere rebasando robo shoko. Father, even over our nation. Over our nation, Lord, where the spirit of religion and politics would try to mix in and bring a canopy over what you're attempting to do and bring in open gateways to the enemy. Lord, we say over our nation, no. We say no. We say no. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our nation. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the earth. And Lord, we say over our nation, Psalm 91. Lord, we say over our region and our territory, Psalm 91. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. Lord, will the enemy try to stir things up and try to cause discord and try to cause riots and try to cause things. Lord, we say let it be uncovered before it even gets started. And we say that no evil shall befall you. We declare Psalm 91 over our region and our territory in Jesus' name. And I'm going to let Tanya pray, but I want to encourage you as you drive around the city this week, pray over churches. Declare Psalm 91, pray over synagogues, pray over schools, pray over the community. The enemy is moving and he's trying to do things. Pray that it would be uncovered and declare Psalm 91 over our region.
And just, I want to add to that, in worship, I just felt like the Lord said he wanted to release Psalm 29 over Israel. And just that his voice is going over that region right now. And so we just declare the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple we all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. We just declare that over that region. The Lord sits enthroned over the region forever. And Lord, we just declare verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So Lord, we just say, Lord, would you give strength even right now, God? I just see even you releasing your voice, God, your voice of strategy, your voice, God, of where to go, where not to go. And God, we release that from this place right now, God. We thank you that your voice goes all throughout that region, God. Your roar, the line of Judah roaring, God. And may your voice be heard and may it break the enemy, would it break the evil, God. And Lord, release strategy where it needs to be. And we just declare your peace right now in Jesus' name.
And as Steve was praying, just as Israel and their armies are going into those tunnels, I felt the Lord said that the sleeper cells were to go in the spirit and uproot them. And if you don't realize, and I just, you know, a little bit behind, but they changed the districting of our representatives in our house in 2022. Yeah. And we're right in the district of the Palestinian representative that's been releasing just all kinds of things, and they censored her right now. That just means they're just watching what she says. But we're in that region right now, and I believe when she spoke those words out, that those sleeper cells were activated. So Father, right now we thank you that as Israel's going into the tunnels, we go in the spirit right now and we expose every sleeper cell that's been activated right now in this region. We shut it down in the name of Jesus. Expose it to Father, the law enforcement officials, the proper authorities. We thank you that Father, they disperse their activity. They expose it right now. now. They go in and shut it down. And we thank you, Father, that we say shields up over this region right now. We declare, Father, that in the spirit, it's quenching all the fiery darts of the evil one that's been released, Father, that's been activated in the name of Jesus. And we declare it cannot come into this region. It cannot manifest. For Father, you lifted up a shield of faith around this region, this city right now, in the name of Jesus. Expose, 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 in the name of Jesus. We declare it. Amen. 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 We were praying about the sleeper cells last week, and something happened on Sunday night. I just went to look to see who the House of Representatives was in this area. I didn't realize in 2022 they restructured, and Southfield's in it now. We're in it, Redford's in it, and Livonia's in it. So they've added a few major cities of people here involved. And so it's important that you are engaged in voting. Not only those cities, but Westland, part of Westland's in it, and downriver. So it's all kinds of things in Detroit. It's really crazy. So don't rely on the UN. The UN, what they did this past week when they took a vote, they refused to silence or sit down Hamas, but 150 nations chose, and only six stood up for Israel. 150 nations gave all these sanctions against Israel. You talk about anti-Semitism that's been released by the United Nations. So don't trust them. We're not trusting them. We're trusting in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So be in prayer. Pray in the Spirit. If you know how to pray, that's all right. Just pray in the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. He'll reveal it to you. Amen. Amen. I was asking the Lord coming in this morning and praying, and the Lord said, what prayer should we be praying at this time? Because you're hearing a lot about end times and looking at Matthew 24, and I've looked at Matthew 24 and Luke 18, and where it talks about the end times. But basically in that time, if you read it literally, it was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The temple came down in 70 AD. So that happened, but there's significant things in there talking about the end times that still apply to us. Be alert. Be on the guard. Amen. I mean, there's something that's rallying that's happening, because in the last days, there's going to be attention on Jerusalem again and on Israel. So we can know that, but the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem happened in 70 AD. And they all fled to the mountains. If you read in there, because most of us wouldn't read in there and say, oh, this is the end time scripture, and says, you're going to be taken before authorities, and many are you going to be martyred. Yeah, well, that can't be us. I mean, in our time and thinking about that, what was, it did happen in 70 AD. And the temple has not been restored. It was destroyed just as Jesus prophesied. But he says, the end isn't, these are the beginning of birth pains when you hear wars and rumors of wars. When all the deception, these are just the beginning of birth pains.
Amen.
Amen. So stay aware, because the enemy wants to wear you down. And so if I could think of a scripture, and I know I've said Ephesians and chapter 1, verse 3, Paul's apostolic prayers, but there's one prayer that Jesus is still praying before the throne. And it was the very last verse, because it's a whole chapter. It's John chapter 17. But the very last verse I was going to preach out of, but he said, no, you need to preach the whole prayer. So you ready for the whole prayer that Jesus is still praying that hasn't been fulfilled? And how many know that every prayer that Jesus prayed has already been fulfilled, but there's some that are yet to be fulfilled, and one prayer that's yet to be fulfilled. And I believe that that's talking about the reality of Jesus in us. And so I want to just start by reading that last verse, first of John 17. I'm going to read out of the Passion, and then we're going to go over and look at a few scriptures, because we need to know what the end time manifestation of the church is going to be like. And the very last verse of John 17 in the Passion says this. It says, I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. Sounds like the song we sang. What's the reality? Yes. It's Jesus. This is the reality of the end time. So that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. This is the reality of the end time church. The church coming into the manifestation of the reality of Jesus. Manifestation is, that's what we're demonstrating to the world. That's what all creation is waiting for the manifestation and the revealing of the sons of God. One translation says, for the manifestation. I know that through the years, the church stayed away from that scripture that said the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God because they said it was a cult. In the end times, we're going to be the manifestation of Jesus in the earth. All creation is waiting for the revealing or the manifestation of Jesus. Not just Jesus coming back and being revealed, but the Jesus in the body in the earth. And so Jesus prayed this prayer. And you need to know when he prayed this prayer. It's crazy. This was the night that he, just before he went to the garden, because chapter 18 starts, was after he prayed this prayer, him as disciples went to the garden. And it was in the garden that soldiers came, arrested Jesus. The next morning, he was crucified. And so this is the prayer that Jesus prayed before he left the earth. You want to be praying a prayer that Jesus is praying. He's praying that we would come into the reality. In fact, we'll get to that scripture because Colossians chapter 1 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the reality. The reality is not just getting saved. Let me say this. You get saved, you see the kingdom. But he wants you to go further. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit so you can possess the kingdom. But he wants us to even go further and manifest the kingdom. Yes. Manifesting the kingdom is different than just being saved. And getting born again. Manifesting is being filled with the essence of all that Jesus is and allowing that to flow through you. It's not only him being revealed to you and in you, but it's flowing through you. The manifestation of Jesus, the fullness of Jesus is what all creation is waiting for. So Jesus, before he went to the cross, before he went to the garden and said, not my will, but your will be done. He wrestled. He prayed this prayer. And he not only prayed this prayer, but he prayed it for you and I. Yes. He saw the future when there would be a people that would fulfill his prayer in John 17. I believe we're just at the beginning of seeing the fulfillment of that. Right. That we get to choose. You can choose to go to heaven. And that's great. That's going to be wonderful. But he's got more for you than you just going to heaven. He's got a work for you to finish in the earth so that Christ is revealed through you, that there's multitudes and nations who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus. They're waiting for the true church to rise up. That's why everything that can be shaken is being shaken. That's why he's shaken everything in the church that's religious. He's shaken religion out of the church because the church building is not the church. In fact, he's moved from the church age into the kingdom age. And he says, the kingdom of God is in you. So he wants the kingdom to manifest in you and through you. He's waiting for the manifestation. That's the war that's taken place in the heavenlies. That's the war that's taken place with principalities and powers. The devil doesn't care if you go to heaven. He'll let you get saved And then he'll isolate you because he wants to keep you from manifesting the fullness of Jesus and taking multitudes with you. So we better read this because it's a fairly long prayer. But I'll stop and I'll give you some emphasis. But chapter 17, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. I love this because, you know, there's a demonstration of the manifestation of the fullness of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John and they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is before Jesus received his glorified body. And as he was praying, what happened? They saw Moses and Elijah up there. And then the God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." But they saw the glory of God. They fell on their faces. They saw the full manifestation of Jesus before the cross, before his resurrection. He gave them a glimpse of the glory of God. He gave them a glimpse of what they were to be. Woo! So he says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Are we there? Yeah, we're there. So you can follow on the screen. Father, the time has come. I want to tell you, the Father is saying the time has come for this prayer to be fulfilled. 2,000 years that hasn't been fulfilled. You wouldn't be here if it was fulfilled. If this prayer was fulfilled, none of us would be here today. He prayed this 2,000 years ago, but he says now, and you know a day is 1,000 years to the Father. We're only in the third day since Jesus' crucifixion. We've entered the third day. You know what happened on the third day? He was raised from the dead. So we're living in the third day, which is the full manifestation, not only his resurrection power that we talked about last week, but in the fullness of Jesus. So he says, Father, the time has come. I want to say prophetically that the Holy Spirit is saying, now is the time. Now is the time for the manifestation of the reality of this scripture. And he's saying, as we sang in that song, I love that song, he is the reality. Whoever receives this reality can walk in the fulfillment of this. He doesn't exempt anyone. He says, if anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Same thing with this. If anyone answers to this, you can enter into this. Yes. Woo. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. You get the emphasis on this? Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. There is a generation that's going to unveil the glory and the fullness of Jesus in the earth. He says he's coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. That one's full of glory. He's coming back for a body that looks just like him. Woo! He's been spending 2,000 years preparing his body. Aren't you glad that he's not going to spend another 2,000 years that we can choose to see that happen in our lifetime? We can accelerate. When there's someone that hears the word and they say, yes, Lord, be it done unto me. It's just like Mary. Yes. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he says, you're going to, you know, conceive, and the one that you conceive is going to be like the Son of God. And she said, you know, she questioned, how's this going to happen? He explains it. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to receive, conceive, and that you conceive on the inside is the Son of God. And what did Mary say after she asked the question? She said, let it be done unto me as you have spoken. He's looking for a people that when he reveals, now is the time, say, yes, I'm that people, I'm that chosen generation. I choose to be a part of that end time remnant. Are you out there? I mean, boy, isn't this good? Woo, the Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ. See, it's not just a knowing with your head, it's to experience him. Yeah. That's a manifestation. Manifestation is just not having a cerebral, you know, revelation in your mind and go, wow, I got notebooks. I got books. I got prophecies. But that's not the manifestation. The manifestation is when you start to walk in that dimension. It's not a one-time experience. It's who you're becoming. It's who you are in Jesus. So he says, this is eternal life, that you might know me and the only true God. Eternal life means to know and experience as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as his son whom you sent. I have glorified, so Jesus goes back and says that this is about unveiling the glorious splendor of your son. And Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth by faithfully doing everything you told me to do. This is important. You want to glorify him? Then you'll fulfill what he's told you to do. And the first thing he's told you to do is to glorify him. So Jesus says, I'm the model. I've come. I fulfilled my job. I glorified the Father. He hadn't even gone to crush it. But he says, on the earth, I have fulfilled my assignment. And then he goes to the garden and he gets tested by the devil. Remember when he first got tested in the wilderness? After he says it's written, three times tested and passed the test, it says the devil left him for a season, for a more opportune time. Here's an opportune time now. Jesus is weak. He sees the cross. He sees his flesh suffering, but he sees beyond the cross and he sees you and I. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. I have glorified you on the earth by faithfully doing everything you told me to do. So my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. You want to know, in the book of life, in Psalm 139, your life was written, but you know what your life was written about? To fulfill the assignment that he's given you, to glorify the Son. Just as he glorified the Father. Amen. You're going to see that. That's his prayer right here. So he's turning it around, talking about himself, but he's starting to turn it around and saying, this is your destiny. This is what you're called to be. First, before your individual assignments, we're all called to glorify him. In that, we all have different assignments of how that's going to look. So my Father, restore me back to the glory that we have shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. Father, I have manifested, there's that word manifested, who you really are. So our first assignment is to manifest who he really is.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm here.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Father, I manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women that you gave me. I want to tell you, this applies to you and I. Just as Jesus revealed who God the Father was to the men and women he gave him, now he's saying you, if you want to glorify him, are to reveal Jesus, his Son, who revealed the Father, to the men and women he's given you. The enemy's strategy is to shut you down and shut your mouth, to lock you in. He doesn't care if you go to heaven, if he can lock you up, shut your mouth down, keep you, you know, locked inside, then you can't affect and reflect Jesus to those that he's given you. Are you following this? See how it's just going from him to us now. And the very words you gave me to speak. So, wait, I got ahead of myself. They were yours and you gave them to me. And they have fastened your word firmly to their hearts. And now at last they know that everything I have is a gift from you. I want to tell you everything you have. If everything Jesus had was a gift from the Father, I want to tell you everything you have in Christ is a gift from the Father. Thanksgiving is so important. I know at Connecting Point, Apostle Linda talked about a Thanksgiving and the power of it. That people are saying that it triggers some
endorphins, or not endorphins, not dolphins, but all these hormones on the inside, the more you give thanks, the healthier you're going to be. God knew what he was doing, saying be thankful in everything. I mean, you go in, just be thankful. I mean, I've seen it changes the people you're thankful for. They think, something wrong with you? No one ever tells me thank you. Thank you for, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. Just be thankful. Well, that's a message you'll have to listen to Apostle Linda's. Now, lastly, they know that everything I have is a gift from you, and the very words you gave me to speak, I passed on them. What are the words that you're passing on to those men and women that he's given you influence over? What are the words that you're giving them? You can't compromise. You can't cover it up. We got to speak the name of Jesus and speak boldly. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. So the words that they're looking for are the words that Jesus has given us to speak. So that they can carry. Because without carrying Jesus in their hearts, they're not born again. So you can get them to do all kinds of mechanics, but until they have an encounter themselves with God. And I believe the best evidence is there's something that begins to change on the outside. It may not be totally, but there's something happening. If there's no change, I question if they really got born again.
Hey, hey.
They can say all the right words.
Yep.
That's another story. They are convinced that I have come from your presence. Notice what it says. I pass these words on to them. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. That's what we're going to stand before the throne. Did you represent him well? Did we really represent him well? They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. So with deep love, I pray for my disciples. I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world. Ooh. He's not praying this for the unbelievers. You can't pray this for the unbelievers. You pray it over those that are his disciples, those that have received Jesus as Lord of their lives. And they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. So with deep love, I pray for my disciples. I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but those who belong to you, those you have given me. For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. This is a correct. His glory is not revealed by making just a confession of faith. When you confess him as Lord of your life, you're surrendering your life to him. The testimony of your life is that you surrendered it to him. Amen. That's what convinces the world.
Amen.
Are you out there?
Amen.
That's what changes them and their heart.
Amen.
So it says, for all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives.
Hey.
And then he kind of makes a shift here in verse 11. Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you. But my disciples will remain here. Stop praying that you get out of your mess. He's not praying that you get caught out of here. Stop praying, hey, look, come Lord Jesus, get me out of this. That's what the devil wants you to be praying, and he'll help you answer that prayer. Because he doesn't really care if you go to heaven or not. He cares if you fulfill your assignment on the earth. another story. Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. Holy Father, each one that you have given me, keep them in your name so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. While I was with these that you have given me, I was guarding them and keeping them in your name. Not one of them is lost except the one who was destined to be lost so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I'm returning to you. So, Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I have given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. You want to know what all this is about? Why the world hates Israel and the Israelis? It's because they confess God is their Lord, is their King. Nothing else makes any sense. How could 150 nations vote to condemn Israel and not condemn Hamas? It doesn't make any sense. So the world's going to hate you when you start speaking out. It's part of the territory. Amen? I don't know why I said amen. But I say amen. If you receive that, you're going to say amen. They're going to hate you. The more you talk about Jesus, the more they're going to hate you. The more you talk about Jesus in your area of influence, in your schools, in your business, the more they're going to try to shut you down. They're going to say it's hate speech. Yes. They're going to flip everything around. Yes. While I was with these that you have given me, I was guarding them and keeping them in your name. Not one of them is lost. Verse 13. But now I'm returning to you, so Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you, so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I have given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. For their allegiance is no longer to the world. I'm telling you right now, what he's shaking, if you're getting shaken, it's to shake some things. Is your allegiance to the world and the things of the world, or to God of Creator of heaven and earth? This is really what's going on right now in us. You say, well, I'm not in war. Yes, you are. You're in war on the inside. It's who you're going to make king over your life. Amen. I'm not saying this is fun. I'm not enjoying it any more than you are. But this is what Jesus is praying. If you want to receive Jesus' prayer, this is what he's praying over you. And he gets real specific here. I am not asking that you remove them from the world. So why are you asking Jesus to remove you? It's not biblical prayer. Jesus says, I'm not asking that you get removed out of this. Come on. I'm not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts. Remember, that sounds like Proverbs 4. Guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Amen. The only one that can protect your heart is you. You have the power of choice. Protect your child. You either shut what's coming in, because no one else going to. Prayer's not going to do it from someone else if you haven't chose to shut down what you're listening to. Are you out there?
Yes.
He's given you the power to shut down what you listen to.
That's right.
If you don't like the news, shut it off. If you don't like what you're hearing, shut it off. Come on. But I ask that you guard their hearts from evil, for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. Ooh, how much attachment do we have to this world? He says, they no longer belong to this world, as I no longer. Verse 17 really gets to the crux of what he's praying for us. Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. The only way we're going to get holy is to be like him, and it's truth, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So you want to get, become holy? You're going to become holy by growing in truth. It's growing in Jesus. It's growing in relationship with Holy Spirit. It's intimacy with Jesus and Holy Spirit that causes you to grow and grow. I have commissioned them to represent me. This isn't an option. This isn't, you know, I sign up and then I get to choose what I'm going to do. No, you signed up. He's commissioning you, and this is what he says. To them to represent me, just as you commissioned me to represent you. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice. It sounds like one of the songs we sang this morning. I'm amazed, you know, these songs are almost like intercession and prayers and declarations. Do you see it, or you just see it as singing a nice song? I don't see it. Man, some of those songs are heavy. And when it gets into this, I surrender all. You're singing that out. Do you think he's going to hold you responsible for what you're declaring? Yeah, I surrender all. And then he says, what about this? Well, you know, that's off limits. You know, that's it in my private closet. I don't even like to go to there. Are you out there?
Yes.
Come on, we went real quiet on this. And I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. Verse 20. And I ask not only for these disciples, so he's not only praying this to those he's given this prayer to before he goes to the cross, his disciples are with him. So it's not only those disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. That's us. Aren't you glad? It just didn't mean those that hung out with Jesus and walked with Jesus, but he says, you know, it's better that I go, for if I don't go, he can't come. And when he comes, he's going to reveal Jesus to you and me. Aren't you glad he didn't leave us as orphans? He didn't say, oh, will you just kind of make your way while you're down here on this earth, you know, and do the best you can? And I hope you make it. I'm hoping and praying. I don't see that in Jesus' prayer. I'm just hoping and praying I make it. No, he says, I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who were one day, whatever day it was that you called on the name of the Lord. And if you haven't, your day's yet to come. And he'll pray for you too. So he's praying for those who call on the name of the Lord, who believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one. The first thing he prays is that you would receive him. And then that you would become one. I believe the greatest thing against the church is we're so divided. In America. We're so divided. We can't agree on anything. Let's agree on at least that Jesus is Lord. And he's coming back. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. So he tells you what this oneness is going to look like. It's going to look like Jesus and the Father. Why is this important? Because the whole world is looking for this oneness. It's looking for us being joined together because they can't see Jesus. They can't see God the Father, but they see the representatives of Jesus, which is you and I on the earth. And so if they don't see us being one as Jesus was one with the Father, they can't believe.
That's right. Amen.
And you can't give them an argument.
Nope.
It's Christ in you, and we'll show you that in a minute. so that the world will recognize that you sent me. Why does he pray? He says, I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. Yes. Why isn't the world running into the church? Because they don't recognize. They don't recognize Jesus, which is Christ in us. They got enough division going out there. They don't want to come into the church. For the very glory, oh, this is it. For the very glory you have given me, I have given them. It just hasn't manifested yet. But that glory's in there. Amen. And we'll start to recognize it. The very glory you have given to me, I have given them so that they may be joined together. The purpose of the glory in Christ being in you is that we might be joined as one so that we might represent him so that the nations would say, wow, that's the God I want to serve.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't understand it. I don't understand all that's in here, but I look at them and I see the transformation in them. There's something different. They're crazy. Don't they know the world's at war and they're at peace? Yeah, and you say, I got a peace that passes all understanding. The same peace Jesus said that he had when he was in the midst of chaos. He says that same peace he's given you and I. But it's what's going on the inside. Oh, phew. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. This is the message of the hour, the reality. Is Christ living fully in you? Last week we talked about Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells. That word dwells does not mean he just lives, but he's alive on the inside.
Yes.
He's not just renting a room.
Come on.
He's not renting a space on the inside. He's there to take over. He dwells. He's living.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
You live fully in me, and now I will live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity. The world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Oh, we're all shouting, yeah, I want to do that. Could it be that he's not talking about physically being with them where he is, although I believe it is, that one day we're going to be with him. But could it be that he's talking about where he is right then? He has a relationship with the Father. And he's saying, I'm praying that they would have that set, be with me right now on the same mission. The same assignment. Whoa. Verse 24. Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given me to be with me where I am, that they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you loved me even before the beginning of time. You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you. In the perfect way that I know you, and all those who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. That's our assignment. Revealing who Jesus is, and will continue to make him more real as we're being changed from glory to glory. And I'll show you that in a minute. And I will continue to make it even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. So the love of God lives in you as Christ is living in you. The more he has full freedom to live and dwell in you, the more you experience the love of God. Are you out there? And the expression of the love of God is that you finish Jesus' assignment. This word that he was given is now given to you to carry on the assignment. Yes. Amen? Amen. And I believe the manifestation is not just to see the kingdom of God, get born again, and it's not just to possess the kingdom, but it's to manifest the kingdom. Are you following this? That's our assignment. No other generation has had that assignment. So in Colossians chapter 1, let's read this. In Colossians chapter 1, and Paul picks this up to describe this to us. He says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, look what he says. Paul begins to tell us what this prayer is revealing to us. Verse 24, Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and fulfilling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship. I want to stop there and cut down some religious spirits. Right away, people say, yeah, but I'm not a minister. I'm going to cut that down. A minister is not about a title. You're all ministers of the gospel. We all have different parts of the body. But I want to cut this down, because if you read that and you say, Paul says, I'm a minister, well, then right away the religious spirit says, well, I'm not a minister. God has taken away your excuses right now. Because it's not talking about, it's talking about a function, not a title.
There you go.
I'll tell you a story a little bit of what happened in our life group a week ago. We're in our life group and people, I mean, we're full there and we're looking how we're going to have to divide because people are coming in. But people keep asking the people in our life group, what life group are you in? But their next question is, who's the facilitator of the life group? And they'll say, well, Apostle Bob is. Well, then I'm coming. So I said, I want to take care of that. I'm no longer called Apostle Bob to this life group. And they gave me a new name for the life group. I'm Brother Bob. So when they ask, what life group are you? Well, and who's the facilitator? It's Brother Bob. So you get to show up, not based on a title or knowing. And they said, well, who's Brother Bob? Well, you know him. He's there every week. I'm just telling you, we got to get rid of religious spirits. Of this church, I want to say of this church, the body of Christ, you were made a minister. Every one of us is a minister of the gospel. A minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. So he tells you what a minister does. It's a preaching of the word of God. All of us are ministers and are to be preaching the word of God. And then the next verse tells us what the word of God is that we're to be preaching. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. Woo! Well, what is that mystery? He goes on to tell us what this mystery is. Aren't you glad the Bible defines and tells you, interprets what it means? So, well, what does that mean, mystery? I don't understand. Well, here we go. Is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. See, the mystery breaks the religious spirit of joining an organization or going to a building. And it tells you what the church really is, and it's Christ. But it's not just Christ, it's Christ in you. This is a mystery. It's been hidden for generations. The devil's tried to contain in you know, reformations and second awakenings and third awakenings. And if we're not careful in this awakening, he's going to isolate it. We're going to, you know. I thought we'd take that down, but it's been up there since 2012, I think, the last women's convocation. We'll probably never take that down. Because every time you come in there, you're going to think of Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. What is the mystery? Oh, the mystery is Christ in you. But change that. It's Christ in me. The hope of glory. So we're going to talk about, the glory of God is the fullness of Jesus, but where is that glory? It's in you and I, and it's you and I that are the hope for what the world is travailing and seeking for. The wars and rumors of war are all about you and I.
That's right.
Functioning for representing Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, let's read that again. I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. There's a comma there. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, comma, but has now been manifested to his saints, comma. You talk about long sentences. And you know why it's long? Because there's no punctuation in the original Greek. So it's like a run-on sentence. You know why? Because he doesn't want you to detach and take one part out and saying the preaching of the gospel, and then you get to give your definition of what you think the preaching of the gospel is.
Amen.
You don't get to do that. Or what you think the mystery is. He takes that. Well, I think the mystery is. No.
Here it is.
Here it is. But has been manifested to his saints. This mystery's been manifested. Not just revealed, but manifested. Manifested in you so it can manifest through you. Manifested. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory. So God chose to make what the glory is, to make known. God chose that. You're not trying to define it. I think the glory means this.
Amen.
No. The glory, oh, I love this. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28 finally gets to a period. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man and woman with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. What is the preaching of the gospel? It's preaching this mystery, Christ in you. It's not about just going to heaven. It's about a transformed life. And the evidence of that, he says, is that every man will be complete. That's the second coming. He's coming back when we're complete. Every man is complete. The body is complete. In Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Wow. So to make sure that you stay on track, he's put his power on the inside of you in person of Holy Spirit. He doesn't get distracted. He's right on, man. He's like a laser. I get tickled. They sent the aircraft carrier Gerald Ford into the Mediterranean. It's the most sophisticated aircraft in the whole world. And last week they had on that deck, they had something that was covered. It had a covering in it. Well, they finally took it off, and it's a stealth drone that can go up to 63,000 feet and fly at Mach speeds. No one, they unveiled that. And they unveiled that so that all those around the Mediterranean could see. You're not messing with some pansies here.
Right.
I mean, that thing, it's a drone that flies, it can fly at 60. And they started working on this in 2011, 2012. And they've been fine-tuning it because they had a law about breaking the sound barrier. It was too loud on the ears of people. So that's why they shut down a lot of these supersonic planes because they were hurting people's ears and it was too disruptive. So this one doesn't hurt your ears. It's a stealth bomber. Oh, I just got all excited watching that. Okay. Let's go over to chapter 2 here. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ Himself. What is God's mystery? It's Christ Himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the greatest treasure in the whole world? And Proverbs, every time I read through it, it's saying better than silver and gold and all the jewels is what? A spirit of wisdom. Woo! It's talking about Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Wow. For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised, a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What he's really looking at is not circumcision of the flesh. He's looking at circumcision of the heart. That will circumcise the flesh. Amen? It's an inside-out job. And then one of my favorite scriptures, if not, well, everyone is. But this one I talk about a lot because I believe this is fulfillment. It's 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, I love it. Verse 12 says, therefore, having such a hope, and he's talking about the glory of the Lord, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Spirit, or the Lord is the Spirit. I like to say it this, and where the Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So the glory's in us, but when we look face to face, when we have an encounter, we're being changed into the same glory, not a different glory. Not something different than what Christ has, the same glory. Because that's the glory that's going to convince the world. When we look on His face, we're changed. Our countenance changes. Amen? Amen. Let me just give you a couple other scriptures. You can write them down. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Just as we have borne the image of the earth, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. What's more important? What image are you bearing? The flesh, earthly, titles, or the heavenly? Amen. That's an image of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is being revealed to us, and some translations say in us. These present sufferings don't compare to that glory. So every time we get a face-to-face encounter and we taste a little glory, it can't compare to anything. Amen. So I believe the message of the hour is Christ. Amen. Jesus praying that for you and I. Christ in you. This is the mystery. This is what all creation in Romans chapter 8 is travailing and waiting for. This is what why creation's kind of gone. Not only nature, but people. Everything's gone crazy. Why? Because it's travailing. And the birth pains are getting closer and more intense. I'm watching my dog. Yeah. And she's panting harder and harder. They're getting closer. So as we watch Israel, it's closer. And he's doing a fast work. And he's saying, do you want to be part of his remnant? To get to step in and experience some of his glory here. And now, you don't have to wait to get over there. You can do it here and now. So, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you. We're living in an intense time. But, Father, you already have given us a DNA that, Father, represents you in your glorified body. And that we're one with you. You said you're praying for us. Oh, I thank you. I receive that prayer. Thank you. Thank you for praying us. We need prayer, Lord. You're praying for us that we might experience the same glory that you experienced with the Father when you were here on this earth. You gave us, Father, an example of that before you went to the cross and died and were resurrected and ascended into heaven. When you were transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of the glory that they were to manifest in the earth. And we thank you that the apostles and the book of Acts, Father, they manifested a part of that glory. But Father, we thank you. There's a generation coming that's going to manifest the full glory.
Yes.
That Father's going to manifest the full love of the Father. That's going to manifest signs and wonders and miracles and do the same things that Jesus did and greater works than these, because we come to the mystery and the revelation of Christ in us. The fullness already dwells there. So when we have face-to-face encounters, veils are being taken off. So I say, remove the veils that hinder us, Father, from possessing, Father, not only the kingdom, but hinder us from going on in manifesting the kingdom of God. So, Father, we thank you this morning in the midst of all that's taken place, not only in Israel, wars and rumors of wars, but, Father, in the earthquakes and, Father, the volcanoes now in Iceland and earthquakes, Lord, that are shaking, Father, world, natural disasters. We thank you, everything that can be shaken.
Yes.
Is being shaken. And you said, one more time, I'll shake not only the heavens, but the earth. So we thank you in that shaking, Father. You're establishing something that can't be shaken, and that's Christ in us. So we thank you. You are the hope of glory.
Yes.
And so, Father, as we pray about glory, send your glory. As we pray, Father, for your manifested presence, we thank you. That's dwelling on the inside. Resurrection power is on the inside of us.
Yes.
It's Christ in us. So we thank you. This is the message we're preaching, is Christ.
Yes.
And so we thank you. We thank you, Father, that your desire is to bring your church, your people, your disciples to fullness, to full maturity. By this, Father, when we're one together, when we're, Father, operating as Jesus and the Father operated, and Jesus and Holy Spirit modeled for us before Jesus went back to be with the Father, He modeled what it was like to be filled with Holy Spirit. And so we thank you that you have given us Holy Spirit, not only to be with us, but be in us. And so we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Father. Let's again make our confession of faith together. I love this. If you've never prayed this, I want you to pray it out of your heart. And let's pray this together. Let's say, Father, I thank you and praise you that you so loved the world, that you so loved me, that you sent your Son Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to not only come into the earth, but to fulfill your assignment of going to the cross, dying for the sins of the world, dying for my sins. I thank you for forgiving me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I thank you for cleansing me, not only from my sins, but all unrighteousness. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Come, Jesus, be Lord of my heart, Lord of my life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you said if we ask, we could be filled with Holy Spirit. I ask now that you fill me with the same evidence that the disciples experienced in Acts. I believe I received. I thank you, you give me the utterance, and I do the speaking. So fill me now. Oh, Rabba Sataraba Shataraba Korabaha. Oh, Randarara la ha ha ha. Roto robo Randarara Bukurete de he. Arato to robo Shatarara la la Buronda Rabakara. Broche tarala la Boko Ronda Rata Rata Raboho. Le Sotorobo Koramba Baha Teriboharaha. Oh, Shandarara la 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 Bakaram. If you prayed that, it doesn't matter if you prayed in tongues. The Bible says you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But one of the gifts that comes with Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is not Holy Spirit. It's the evidence. Okay? But why do you want to pray in tongues? Because it says building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. It says in Ephesians 6, after you put on the armor of God, it says, praying with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. Yes. So you don't know how to pray in Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit knows the perfect will of the Father. So let Him pray. Amen. And build up your most holy faith. So you get to do that every day. It's a choice. You get to choose. Amen. And so we just encourage you to keep pressing in, keep building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And keep just encountering Jesus face to face. I want another encounter.
All right.
Amen? I mean, every encounter, man, whew, more encounters. If you need a healing, just stand up. We're going to pray over you. I know it says, these signs shall follow them you believe, but the word of God is just good. If you need a healing, just stand up. You got pain in your body, you got some doctor's report, you got something going on. Just stand up. We're going to pray over you. The rest of us are going to exercise our faith and stretch our hands. Amen. We don't know what your condition is, but Holy Spirit does. So just raise your hands. Father, we thank you right now. We as the body of Christ agree. Pray in the Spirit if you're praying for Him. Pray in the Spirit. Father, we thank you that you know, Father, the conditions in these bodies. And we thank you. You're the healer. We thank you that you watch over your word and perform it. And so right now, Father, we declare pain go. I declare every sickness, every disease right now that's been declared over these bodies. These bodies are the temple of Holy Spirit. And I say be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I release healing, Father, into every system of the body that's malfunctioning and not operating on full capacity in the name of Jesus. The nervous system, the blood system, every organ, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys right now, the prostate, in the name of Jesus. We just bind that right now. Sugar diabetes right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, Holy Spirit. Just move right now. I thank you for resurrection power. You're stirring up. And pain, go right now. And I declare alignment right now in, Father, the skeletal system, in the spine right now, in Jesus' name. In the mind, dementia right now. Just symptoms of dementia. We break that. Depression right now, in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, we just break you off. And stress right now. Stress is 80% of all mental and physical things. So I break stress right now. We cast all of our cares over on you, for you care for us. So cast your cares over on him. And we break right now stress, fear, torment, doubt, unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. We break that off of everyone right now that's carrying anything that's not of you right now. And I release right now peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I release faith that moves mountains right now in the name of Jesus. I restore hope right now, Father. I restore right now. Just right now. Just declare what you need restored right now in the name of Jesus. Restoration from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. I thank you for a supernatural overhaul in your church, in your body right now. We're not moved right now by what we see or feel. We stand on the word right now. And we say, thus says the word of God, I'm healed by his stripes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You say, what do I do now? Every time you think about it, you thank him, you're healed. You say, but I'm not. But thank him, because it says, when you pray, believe that you received. So when we prayed, you believed you received. Not when you receive, you believe. But you believed when you pray. And then you receive. So just get up every morning. Something about Thanksgiving. I get up every morning. Same symptoms there. I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm healed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
You got to learn to speak.
Amen.
Your voice, I mean, that's authority. Don't just think it. It doesn't say think. It says whoever believes in their heart and speaks with their mouth. So you got to speak and put a little oomph in it. Put a little sauce on it, you know. Get a little sassy, you know. I mean, it's kind of like natural enemies, you know. They don't understand weakness. They understand authority. And man, when you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. He himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses.
Amen.
Yes. And if that doesn't work, you know, you get a little more aggressive. Stomp on his head. Move your feet. He's under your feet. That's what Scripture says. Put your foot on his neck. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen. Let's give him praise. Give him honor right now. Thank him. Thank him. Hallelujah. Well, go like this. Go like this. I love all you. I'm running out. I'm running out. Have an appointment. We'll give you some updates. Maybe bring some pictures next week. That won't happen. So, Saturday again. Amy, you want to just give that invitation real quick? Saturday, so...
Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 18th, is our Thankful Fest. We're going to have a meal. The sign-up sheet is out just as you walk out. If you would like to participate, we're going to have a Thanksgiving meal together and board games and hang out for an hour or two in the afternoon next Saturday. So please sign up, and we'll see you then.
Also, there's two more classes to biblical citizenship. Right. Well, they've been good, but we know why we did these classes with everything that's going on. It's been crazy, but we'll start them again next year, because one time's not going to make it. Mike's on his third time. Some of us are our second and third times. And I'll tell you, each one is like brand new. So we need to know our rights as citizens of this country, because they're going to be taken from us if we don't know. Just like if you don't know the rights here, the enemy takes advantage of you. So that's on Wednesdays. We've got two more classes. Got one this week. Then we skip the next week, which is Thanksgiving. And we finish the 30th of November. Is that right? Yeah, so, okay, so you can watch the Lions or do whatever you want to do, but